Hi, welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have a really incredible person with me. Julie Caracciolo is an award-winning professional declutterer, and I love that. She's an organizer and she's also a certified life coach. She is also the author of 15 books. She's passionate about supporting people and clearing clutter in all areas of their lives, getting organized and becoming more mindful and aware. For a decade, she hosted the popular podcast Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out. Happily married to Tony, she is also at the beck and call of her rescued black cats, Antonio, Nini, Gus, and Jack Henry. Based in Wheeling, West Virginia, Julie works with people worldwide. She enjoys hiking, reading, learning about environmental and animal issues, and baking. She's also serving as the vice president of the Friends of the Ohio County Public Library. And this is my favorite part. The bathroom or the bathtub is her woman cave. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie.
You are more than welcome. All right, so you are a professional declutterer. Is this something that just is part of your personality, or how did you come about becoming this guru of decluttering?
Well, what happened was I was in a job, and pretty quickly prior to owning my own business, I worked in fund development, was the director of development, grant writing, and all that. And I got a job. I had moved from Los Angeles to Raleigh, North Carolina, and really quickly I was like, "Ooh, this is not a good place." And I thought, you know what? Well, I don't want to just get a job. So what can I do? And so I threw around different things, and I was like, "I want to be an organizer." And then after I started my business, and at the time I'd called it Healing Through Organization, and if you can avoid it, don't switch your name. I did. That's we could do a whole other podcast on that. But as I started to work with people, I had this aha moment, and I had this client, and I walked in her house, and she said, "Can we just talk?" And I said, "You're the client. We can do whatever you want." And typically, when I'm decluttering homes, I work in 4-hour chunks, and the reason I do that is so at the end, people say, "Oh, wow, we did some stuff. I can see a difference." And so we talked probably 3 hours, but in that last hour, we got so much decluttered and so much accomplished that I was like, aha, you know, it's for me, it's really about the decluttering. And if we get kind of the root cause, then we can let go of things more easily. And so I refer to myself now more as a declutterer because to me, that's where the action is. And once we do that, organizing is kind of the icing on the cake.
That's great. And where did this come up in your life that you started to think this is what I really love to do?
Well, people would always say, "Hey, you're kind of uptight. Come help me get organized." And so when I was living in Los Angeles, and I said, "Sure, I'll come and help you," but decluttering was always a part of that. And so when I was in that job, I was like, "Well, what could I do? Because I have to make money. I'm a single woman and I have to be passionate about it. Because if I'm going to wake up and, you know, do my own business, I have to really enjoy it." And so this is what I came up with. And I remember, if anyone listening, and you know, I started my business at 40. I want to encourage women. It's never ever too late to start anything. And SCORE is a great resource because that is retired professionals who can help you. And I'll never forget my first meeting with these two older gentlemen, and they're like, "You want to do what? People do what?" And I said, "Yeah, it's for real." I said, "Go look on." I said, "There are a ton in Sari. Go look it up." But yeah, that's kind of how it started.
That's great. So it's a natural thing for you to want to be de decluttered. As you said, you're uptight.
I am. And you know, as I've gotten older, I've tried to appreciate and work on the more intuitive, creative side. But for me, decluttering works really well with that. Like, if you have a messy desk, your mind is going to be messy. And when I say that, people are always like, "Well, Einstein, you know, and he's brilliant." And I argue Einstein could have done even more if he had
Well,
a
there you
decluttered
go.
desk. I mean, I truly believe that because everything's energy, and so it's affecting us. And if you know, can't think clearly because of your desk, and it's a symbiotic relationship. So the inner reflects the outer. If you have the cluttered desk, it's cluttering your mind. If you have a cluttered mind, you're most likely going to have clutter on your desk or in your life somehow.
And that's where I find that that's where a lot of time leaks away. There's too many distractions. And now, you know, however many years later, We have all of the internet. We have all of this information constantly coming at us.
Yes.
And that creates more and more and more clutter. I don't know about you, but when I look at my inbox in the morning, I can't even take it sometimes. I'm just going in there, delete, 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 and or unsubscribe, to
Yes.
everything. And I can't really even get my day started until my inbox is clear of all the crap that's in there, and I can focus on the good stuff that's in there.
Yeah, I mean, it really does affect us. And sometimes people say to me, well, oh my gosh, I don't have time to declutter. I don't have time to get organized. And always my response is, how much time did you spend on social media this week?
Right.
And the oh, just a few minutes. I said, okay, we're going to do an experiment. I want you for the next week, just a time. It's there's no judgment in this. Oh, wow. I had no idea. Now on my iPhone now, it tells me this is how much time you've been on your iPhone, and it breaks it down. You're reading the news or you're on social media, so that makes it even easier on us. But I think a lot of times we underestimate how much time. And maybe it's not social media. Maybe you are a gamer, right? Or you're playing, or you watch a lot of videos, and find out what that time sucker for you is. And I'm not saying eliminate it, but just corral it and say, okay, I'm going to give myself an hour to scroll cat videos or whatever it is, right? And then, contain it.
So, tell me about a client if you've had one that has hired you and then all of a sudden kind of becomes very resistant to what you're asking them to do. That's probably
Ooh.
everybody at some point.
I was going to say what I think that that's typical. What I should say is by the time people contact me, they're fed up or they're overwhelmed or they know, you know what, something has to change. I'm not sure quite what that is, but something in my life needs to change. So I would say that usually from the beginning, what tends to happen is an area or an item might come up where we have resistance. So memories is a really good place. Oh, well, you know what? That's the, even though it has mothballs, that's the first sweater that I wore on my first date with my husband. Or, that's my child made, 10 boxes of art from kindergarten. I have to keep it. So that there's typically something a lot of times around memories, or sometimes there's guilt with heirlooms or, things that are in the family. And so that's where I think for me personally, my clients tend to start to have a little resistance. So it's just a matter of working through it. Again, I don't say, oh my gosh, you got to get rid of everything. I don't believe that. It's a process, right? But the kids today don't want your stuff. I just want to put that out there. And so you give them a gift if you start to declutter. And it's what where we get messed up sometimes is we think that our memory is in that object. But if I take that sweater away, I'm not going to lose my husband. I'm not going to lose the memory. Our memories are in our hearts and our heads. And so that's kind of a starting point with the conversation. That's okay. Can because that make is that something that can help you? Can you kind of let's talk about that? Or if it's really important, let's take a picture, right? And then we can create a slideshow if you want. And then you can let the object go, right?
100%. My husband and I made a decision a little over 2 years ago that we would get rid of everything and move into an RV and travel the country and work remote. So that's what we did. We had initially, it took us several years to reach that goal. Because we started off in a on a 10-acre farm in Tennessee with a humongous barn, and all of his stuff, we married later in life, all of his stuff, all of my stuff, and a lot of my ex-husband's stuff that he hadn't gotten out of the barn. And of course, I have two children, so their stuff. And it took a good 3 to 4 years to get rid of all the stuff. We made it. And what I did was I took pictures of pictures in all these photo albums. I gave the photo albums to my daughters and I said, pick what you want, throw out the rest. I don't care, but I don't want to know. And I handed heirlooms to them. Do what you will with them, but I don't want to know. But I gave them the stories behind a lot of that as well, So they would have the stories. And if I wanted to take a picture, for instance, a chair that my grandfather made, took a picture, and now it
Wow.
comes up on my digital frame. So
Yeah.
I have very few actual pictures, but they're all everything that I want as far as memories go is on my digital frame.
Well, hats
So,
off to you. I mean, that you should
yeah,
be very proud of
thanks.
yourself. And I love how you said to the kids, do what you want and don't let me know. Because, I was in a situation where my father was like, I don't care if you get rid of it, but you have to ask the entire family so
Oh.
I don't get in trouble. So we moved back to West Virginia. It wasn't part of the plan, right? But life happens. And so we had this beautiful set of furniture that was my grandmother's when she was a young girl. And so that was in our guest room. And for two, we had two guest rooms, so it was perfect. Then we moved here, we don't have a guest room. And so I said, so my, I was like, you can't throw that out. And I said, I was either going to try to sell it or I would donate it to a charity. But I said, I want it out. I can. So my aunt, it's in her basement. But I said, we'll happily deliver it. But she made that choice. But I said, we're not going to hold on to it and keep it here.
Exactly. I have my I'm 62 now, and so my friends are starting to lose their parents. I've lost my dad. And one of the things that all of them worry about or have run into is having to clear out mom and dad or grandma's stuff. And it's painful. It's very painful when the person hasn't taken any kind of time to clear out stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You
My
know.
mom passed. That's why I moved back. We moved back to take care of her. And so she died. It's been about 4 years, but she wasn't a hoarder. However, she held on to things. And so, God love my father. He is. Has been clearing out stuff, and I just recently finished up because I was so it was probably the closest I'd ever been to a nervous breakdown because breakdown because I was coming once a month from North Carolina to take care of my mother for 10 days out of each month, getting my husband set, still running a business, wasn't taking care of myself physically, and so I was like, you know what, I would just do a little bit of a time. My dad's like, grab the painting, all the paintings behind us from my mother, she was an artist. And he said, you get
Oh,
first
wow.
dibs. And the first time I passed through Love My Husband, he said, honey, we don't have enough wall space for that. And I want to take a moment to talk about grief and then we'll talk about decluttering. It was difficult for me because I was exhausted and my mom had, it was less than a month. And because my dad mourned her because she was sick for about 14 months before she passed. And I'm like, I can't make a decision right now because I'm really knee deep in grief because I was caring a lot for her, so I kind of put off my grief. So if you're able, don't make any decisions or don't do it when you are in grief. And so my husband's really great. We put stuff in the basement and I didn't touch anything for a year, and then I have just slowly gone through paintings, given paintings away, which is another thing. If you're going through people's items, giving my mother's paintings to people that loved her or knew her brought me joy and it brought them
Yes.
joy. So that is sometimes a solution. But I encourage anyone, as much as you can, start the process, because with kids who are left and having to go, it can be very traumatic. And you can run into things like, oh my gosh, it's just trash. And why is this still here? And I had a neighbor before I moved up here, 18 months to clear out her parents' home. Because she is a doctor, and so she would take time on the weekend, but that's 18 months of her life. And I wouldn't say they were hoarders, but they just had a lot of stuff. And so when I work with people, I leave them with a clutter control plan because my goal is once we stop working together, I want you to keep go through everything you own once a year. That's what I encourage people to do. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And then
Oh,
even if
yeah.
you haven't decluttered in 20 years, you're going to have a lot of stuff. And that's typical. And
Oh,
people
yeah.
shouldn't be, there's no judgment in this, no judgment. And you shouldn't feel bad, but it's now we have to take action. We're aware now, we take action, then we can change.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is when we were clearing out, one of my mantras has always been, if I haven't touched it, thought about it, or looked at it for 6 months, it goes. So you
That's
can make
wise.
your own kind of rules. It doesn't have to be somebody else's rules. And not everything has to give you joy, like that book that came out, you know, because
I'm in
some
a
things
total
are just
agreement.
necessary. You know,
Like my
my,
coat rack
right,
is one.
my,
Does it bring me joy? Well, I don't know, but I use it every day.
exactly. So there are things that you must have, you know, cabbage peeler or whatever, that you must have. And if you don't need it, if you haven't looked at it, if you totally forgot you even had it, right?
Yeah, let it
It's not
go.
worth it. Let it go. Let it go
Yeah.
to someone who needs it or wants it or
Yes.
would find some joy in it.
You know,
Absolutely.
and fine, and I believe a strong believer in instilling this in the kids, because if you instill these habits to declutter regularly, then they're going to grow up and as adults and be able to do it. And find a charity that you love. Like I love giving all our towels and blankets when they get kind of cruddy to the local animal shelter
Yeah.
or pet rescue. They need it. They're always like, hey, does anyone have towels or blankets? We use them. You know, domestic violence centers like the YWs, sometimes people are leaving with just the clothes on their back in the middle of the night, and you donating things and the toaster, and they've got a new apartment, they don't have anything. Someone is going to get use out of that and be really grateful.
Absolutely, and reuse is huge for me.
Yeah.
So talk about, let's move from the actual stuff to decluttering your mind. Tell me about how you go about encouraging people to do that.
Well, I would first say, what is your mental clutter? Is it insomnia? Is it monkey mind? Like, for instance, when I first started my business, I couldn't shut off my mind. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Oh my gosh, don't forget about that, blah, 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 right? And so kind of figure out what it is that your mental clutter. Now, I am a firm believer in having some sort of mindfulness practice. Maybe I like, well, for instance, when I mow the lawn, I get into a very meditative state. I have a friend, he listens to classical music. I'm getting back into meditating again. I used to do that, was hardcore with that. And so find some kind of practice that helps you do that brain dump, that helps you clear that mental clutter, right? And then again, paying attention. If you're upset about something, okay, I'm upset that I haven't saved for retirement. Okay, well, then what action can I take? I'm gonna sign up this week with HR to talk about the 401k. Oh, you know what? I've noticed I go to Starbucks every day. And wow, when I end that up at the bill, that's 20 at the end of a week. That's 80, you know. Blah, okay, well, I'm going to cut down, you know, whatever it is. Awareness plus action equals change. So figure out what it is and then figure out what action can I take. I'm not sleeping at night. I had insomnia last night. Oh, I wonder what's that? What am I worried about? Okay, well, if I just stew in my worry or borrow trouble, as my father would say, what do I need to do to be able to move forward and let that go?
What kind of results have people reported back to you once you've worked with them on the mindfulness piece?
Being happier, should they being happier, being more at peace, better relationships. You know, if you have someone that's unhappy or has a lot of mental clutter, a lot of physical clutter as well, but just being able to work on those relationships. I worked with one client and her mother-in-law, oh my gosh, and they were in the same town. So that was a really, you know, she'd come in and be critical. And I was like, okay, well, then every time she's critical to you, then I want you to tell her, give her something to do, take the kids out to the park, help make dinner, you know, whatever that is, but speak your mind, don't stew about it and have it be in that little mice in the cage around in your head on the wheelie. And so for her to be able to set those boundaries reduced her stress so much, and she found time for herself. So, like, send her out to the park with the kids. Give yourself a break. Take a nap. Read a book. Whatever it is. And so, I'd say that one was really powerful. And then the recognition that comes. Oh, I didn't realize I needed this, right? Or oh my gosh, I didn't understand how uptight and anxious I was until I was able to remove some of it. You know what? I don't want to go back to that again. So I'm going to make sure I put some things into place so I don't go back there.
Oh, wow, yes. And sometimes when you're doing the mindfulness or you're doing the decluttering of what's in your mind, just writing all of that stuff down some way, I have found really helps. If I have a list, and this isn't for everybody, obviously, but it has to be a physical list. It has to be written down right next to me. Then I can literally cross things off. I can go through and I can say, okay, what of these things is that important? Let me think of what I'm really trying to accomplish here. And if it's not that important, I can cross it off and not do it. That's another key is you don't have to do everything you tell yourself you have to do.
I am cut from the same cloth. I have to write it
Yep.
down, and some of my books are a part of a journal prompt series, and that's exactly why I did this, because you know what's best for you. When I work with people, it's about bringing their wisdom to the surface, because I don't know what's best for them. They really do. And so that's why I created the journal prompts. Okay, we'll answer these questions, then we can figure out what's important and what's not, and we let go of this the junk that doesn't matter.
And it's very difficult for some people, I have found, to let things go. The perfectionists are really, really incredibly, it's the thing that gets in their way a lot of times in their relationships, personally and professionally, is that one trait can be your biggest asset or your biggest detriment, your biggest, whatever, bias. And so, if they can recognize that, they can use the good part of being a perfectionist and let go of the bad part.
Right, and get curious. Well, why do I need? Was it instilled as me as a child? Is that a family trait? Or did a teacher once say, you're never going to be good enough? And that kind of pushed me, like, what is it? And then be like, you know what? That's not my voice telling me to be perfect, or that I have to be perfect, because it's not realistic. That, you know what? I'm going to let that go. That was that teacher's voice. That was my family's voice. Bye. I don't need you anymore.
I love the fact that we can re rewrite our own rules our whole life. We can take the rules that we learned as a child, which came from other places, and decide what of these serves me, what of these do not. And the shoulds, getting rid of the shoulds. I love that practice, and I love to remind people that you just said I should do blah blah blah. You will if you have to. You know, you
Yeah,
will if you
exactly.
have to.
Yes.
So that's I love the fact that you've written about this, that you've got books out there for people, that you have the journal prompts, and they can take some action on this themselves. How can people get a hold of you and get your resources?
If they go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com, they can learn all about me, social media, all the podcast episodes are up there, and I offer 10 free tips to start getting to clutter your life right now. Sign up for my newsletter, which is free.
Perfect. Well, I will put all of that in the show notes for everybody. And I have three questions that I ask at the end of every episode. Can you close your eyes and tell me what you see in your mind's eye when I say wise woman?
I see an old crone. But I see that the old crone, and she's meditating, and she looks old. So if you saw her physically, you'd say, oh, she's old, but she's sprightly. She is full of life. She is full of energy, and she is imparting her wisdom to all of us.
Beautiful. Perfect. So you can open your eyes now. Where do you like to roam?
Where do I like to roam? I love to hike. I love to be in nature. I feel when I'm upset, I'll go and hug a tree. I will go and I like to roam. I would say hiking. And then the other way I like to roam is traveling. I want to know about trying new foods and cultures, and why are you this, and why do you think, again, getting back to being curious. So I would say traveling and nature.
Oh, okay. Perfect. What makes you restless in a good way?
What makes me restless in a good way? Well, I would say being present, which of course being present is our point of power to change. I'm most concerned, or makes me restless, of the treatment of animals and how we have this overpopulation. We have people, and I'm concerned that we are just going to see more pets being dumped. And so to alleviate that, I want my legacy to be a cat sanctuary. And I thought, oh, I could leave money. I'm like, what are you doing? Start it now. So that is what I'm starting on. Hopefully, because West Virginia farmland is cheaper. And so that is my goal, to have it a public-private partnership. I've been thinking a lot about that. So that is at the present moment what makes me restless and what I want to change and leave a legacy of.
I love the fact that you're talking about what's next when you're talking about being restless. It's always, to me, it's always, what's next? What can I do to help? What can I contribute to the world? What's
Yes.
next? Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. Well, do you have any final words of wisdom to share with the audience?
I do. I just want for everyone listening or watching to remember that they are good enough, worthy, and loved no matter what.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you all for listening or watching on YouTube, and we will see you next time on Roaming with Restless Women.